Good morning, friends of New Covenant, beloved of God. Today we're talking about extending family, a concept Jesus articulated and modeled, which also happens to be one of my personal core principles. Last time I taught, the text focused on the public part of Jesus's mission, challenging structures, demonstrating against religious, political, economic collusion, defending the disadvantaged, and exposing cultural practices that clash with God's commandments. For some of us, this is the crux of the gospel, good news for the downtrodden, ushering in God's upside-down kingdom, where power is transformed and the meek inherit the earth. Big picture passion and civic engagement. Others of us might have chafed at the lack of personal perspective in that teaching. Where was the relational side? Today's texts reveal the personal aspects of Jesus' relationships with his followers and his family. These are intimate portraits of Jesus' inner circle, showing the depth of his love throughout his life and up to the point of his death. For many of us, this is the heart of the gospel, our personal relationship with Jesus that strengthens us with hope, a transformative bond that we want everyone to experience. But we also know that when we concentrate too much on the personal, as much of American evangelical Christianity has done, we tend to ignore and perpetuate the structural economic oppression that much of the Bible testifies against. Of course, both aspects of the gospel are important. Both individuals and structures need redemption. Our personal relationships and our society need transformation. We hope for resurrection for ourselves and loved ones, to live in a new heaven and new earth, ruled by God's justice. We need both the collective protests and the private bonds of family to understand Jesus and to follow him in our personal and public lives. Today's teaching is about the personal side, with Jesus, in my own life, and how it impacts my understanding of fellowship. Though I feel strongly about issues of justice and societal transformation, my personal relationship with Jesus and with family and friends are where I feel most comfortable. Public engagement is work for me, but God keeps calling us to collaborate with our wider community. The pandemic gave me a pass on planning more Good Friday street fests, but now reparations conversations are forcing me back out of my comfort zone to partner with speakers and organizations far beyond our New Covenant niche. But today, I get to talk about family, near and dear to my heart, which is both more vulnerable and more natural for me. This past year has been tough on families. It has been 15 months and counting since I have been with my parents, brothers, nieces, and nephews. Families throughout the world have suffered huge losses that I cannot even begin to fathom or address here. I have relied heavily on my extended family, friends who have chosen each other over the years to be deeply and dependably intertwined through births and illnesses, weddings and deaths, loving each other's children and parents and siblings. Suzanne Linder was the first person in the room with Jubal and me at the birth of each of our children. Paige's daughter Rosie was just turning 11 when she became our first babysitter. And after countless extended family meals, I had the joyous opportunity to officiate her wedding 20 years later. And though Suzanne and Rosie are both in Denver now, our families here in Champaign-Urbana continue to be part of each other's everyday lives. Within this context of extended families, our temporary stint as foster parents was an unexpected calling that exposed resilience that I didn't anticipate and more vulnerability than I knew. Jesus' description of the identity of his brothers, sisters, and mothers is a core text for my understanding and vision of who I am and who we are called to be as God's children in the world. Jesus' seeming refusal to meet with his mother and brothers is jarring at first, appearing as a callous rejection of blood ties more than an extension of brotherhood. The context in gospel accounts reveals that his family came to put a stop to his crazy behavior, or at least force him to rest and eat, as the movement approached a breakneck pace that was clearly unsustainable. We've all read about the leaders whose devotion to the cause excludes everyone who is not focused on their goal. But the story from the foot of the cross prompts a different interpretation of the scene around the circle. Jesus has not abandoned his mother, nor has she left him. It is not that their bond is lessened by including others as mothers, but that the care is expanded. Jesus doesn't love his mother less. Rather, he extends his embrace to mothers in God's service everywhere. Extending family increases both resilience and vulnerability. In my kids' lives, I observe that having consistent, loving relationships with other adults who actively helped raise them has strengthened, supported, and enabled them to grow into the people they are becoming. Far from my own biological family and separated from their physical presence by the pandemic, I've relied on my local extended family for my mental, physical, and emotional health. As an anthropologist and social worker, I note that the more isolated women are from family networks, the higher the likelihood of domestic violence, another tragic increase during the pandemic. Like many truths articulated in Scripture, extending family is good for people. But loving more people more deeply also makes us vulnerable to more losses and more pain. When Jesus was just an infant, the prophet Simeon told his mother that a sword would pierce her innermost being. At the foot of the cross, her suffering with her son as he died rends our hearts as mothers. Jesus offered to extend that role of loving him as a mother to all who embrace it by doing the Father's will. That relationship, that love, entails suffering. But the thought that most surprised me as I meditated on this concept was that God is extending God's own vulnerability and willingness to suffer by inviting us to be family with Jesus. Do we understand God as making God's self vulnerable to human beings, to love and to suffering? I certainly don't usually think that way. But as a parent, and from the short time I spent as a foster parent, I got the tiniest glimpse of the sacrifice that God is offering to us, to love us as a parent, to suffer with us in the keenest way that parents absorb their children's pain. And again, we note the contrast between the cult of scarcity and Yahweh's promise of plenty, even when that generosity comes at a cost that we can't really understand. For both resources and familial love, there is more than enough in God's kingdom to go around. Heavenly economy is based on excessive generosity of inclusion beyond rational human limitations. Jesus expands the definition of family. But his inclusion of more mothers and more brothers and more sisters does not diminish his love for his biological mother, brothers, and sisters. We are invited into their circle. God's family expands to include all that desire to join. In our human existence, we can't change what we're born into. The color of our skin, our socioeconomic status as only children or part of big families with giving, fallible parents or abusive, selfish ones. What language, what time period, what place in the world, so many, many things beyond our control. But Jesus defines family not by what we are born into, ties of blood and culture, but by what we choose to do. Not by what we believe or what creed we espouse, but how we act. No blood tests, no secret society, no religious vows. Whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven is my brother, sister, and mother. And what is the will of our Father in heaven? To do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. To love God with every aspect of our whole selves, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus joins his two sources of family together, his connection to God as Father, his blood connection to his earthly family, and then adds in a third source to complete the family portrait, his connection to all who do the will of the Father, those seated around him in the circle. While I don't fully understand that process or the gift and cost that entails, my personal identity as beloved by Jesus, child of God, member of extended earthly family, is familiar to me. That is the context of who I am. But I didn't realize how the concept of extended family as a guiding principle influences not just my personal commitments, but also my understanding of New Covenant and how I interact with the members of our wider community. Almost 5 years ago, soon after I started the Tuesday Pastor's Notes, I asked Jason Berg to create two separate email lists, one called Local NCF for our Thursday newsletter and the announcements that are specific to our community, and the other named Extended Family for devotional and worship materials that go beyond NCF in Champaign-Urbana. While those categories overlap for many of us, some folks only want the local announcements, and others spread around the world are only interested in the Tuesday musings on life and faith. More recently, I realized that I conceptualize New Covenant and my role here as going far beyond the building at 124 West White Street, stretching back into the past, out across wider Champaign-Urbana, beyond time zones, and even into the future for all those who want to be a part of what God is doing in and through our fellowship. As I've been working on this teaching, I realize that this is a combination of my understanding of Jesus' example of extending family and my own personal commitment to that concept. Exploring our sense of inclusion in Jesus' inner circle, in God's family, is the starting point. Embracing that identity, really feeling that love and acceptance from our divine parent, from the author of salvation, is critical to our confidence in who we are. And I suspect that for most of us, living into our God-given status as inheritors of the kingdom, believing and knowing without grasping, is an ongoing journey. We know we are not worthy, but will we let that get in the way of God's generosity towards us? Or of Jesus is welcoming us as sister and brother with him. When we are confident in our family standing, we are then able to follow Jesus's example of expanding the circle and welcoming others as true family. Embracing the model of plenty rather than scarcity with regard to love and acceptance is also an ongoing exercise. Without intentionality, I've realized that one aspect of my role as pastor has been to connect the historical and current NCF to each other. Beyond my personal friendships or shared history, I feel a broader sense of New Covenant family that extends beyond my experiences. For so many folks in the history of New Covenant, this fellowship has truly been their family, often more so than their biological connections that may have failed them or were too far away to function as family. But I think there has also been an implicit and sometimes explicit promise of being Jesus's family together in radically deep ways. This has been a tremendous gift throughout the years, increasing our resilience as individuals and as a community. But it also comes with failures and suffering, the inevitable result of that increased vulnerability. Extending love beyond our natural boundaries of family runs up against our human limitations. We fall short of being extended family just as we fall short in our biological families. But the risk of the kind of loving that Jesus calls us to is worth it. The riches and resiliency of extending family is a priceless blessing, even with the vulnerability and unavoidable failures. I know that in my personal life, and I believe it in our corporate life as a fellowship and family of God. As New Covenant, investing in each other as extended family is our calling to each other here and now, to those mothers, fathers, sisters, and brothers of our past who have moved on, to all who want to be part of the work that God is doing in and through us, to all those who do the will of our Father in heaven. As we celebrate communion, each in our own homes, we are reminded that this is a family meal. At the very first Passover, the Israelites were to take one lamb per household and to join with neighbors if their family was too small to manage a whole lamb. And if immigrants wanted to join in, they too could become family and be regarded as a native of the land. God has been extending family and inviting us to an ever-expanding table from the beginning, a gift and a sacrifice of strength and vulnerability, a mystery. May Jesus stand among us at the center of the circle as we are welcomed in to partake as one family of God.